Samanta chakkavalesu atra gacchantu devata sadhammam muni rajasa sunantu saga mokadam namma dhamma savana kalo ayang badanda dhamma savana kalo ayang badanda dhamma savana kalo ayang badanda namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa okay today I would like to share with you how to practice loving kindness systematically to the attainment of jhana. Of course, we are not hoping to attain jhana in this short retreat, but how to achieve jhana is a knowledge for you to know. Okay. So, loving kindness is called metta, M-E-T-T-A in Pali, metta. Metta means gentleness, as gentle like full moon, loved by everyone. And metta also conveys friendliness. But mostly we think of metta as unconditioned love, pure love without expectation from the other party. Love that makes no distinction between living beings. And metta is also goodwill, a way of wishing others to be well and happy. With the practice of metta meditation, we develop a genuine wish for our own happiness as well as the happiness of others. And when we develop metta for all beings by wishing them good health and happiness, we are the first one to reap the benefits by become happy ourselves. Okay. And this is the meaning of metta. And what is the spirit of metta, the spirit of loving kindness? The spirit of loving kindness is an expression of pure love. We sincerely wish others to be well and happy, free from all dangers, disease, and disasters, and free from all mental and physical sufferings. We give warm wishes unconditionally. And there's never a wish for anything that is not beneficial. And most of us find it easy to wish that our good friends will be well and happy. But it's often very difficult to wish that same happiness and well-being to those who don't like. You may feel easy to send love to your friends, to your parents, to your relatives, but it is very difficult to send the same love to those who we do not like. This approach to loving kindness is called tainted love, since our like and dislike are based on our preference and is grounded upon ego-centeredness attitude. If our good friends turn out to be harmful to us, our so-called loving kindness towards them immediately shrinks like a feather thrown into the fire. True metta makes no distinction between any living beings. The true metta regards everyone as the same. It's like the love of a mother toward her only child, radiated into the world and offered to all living beings unsparingly. This is the spirit of loving kindness. And metta is like soothing essential oil. It's always cool, joyful, and filled with delight. When we meditate on loving kindness, the heart feels cool and happy. And metta is always forgiving. Forgive others. No matter how much wrong a person has done to us, we will always forgive them because our love is unconditional. So unconditional love is called metta, not biased love. We love other people not because they are kind to us. Even though they are not kind to us, we still love them. This type of love is called unconditioned love. And Buddha is full of unconditioned love for all sentient beings. And this kind of unconditioned love will never turn to disappointment or hatred. It is concerned only with helping others, and it is completely free from any destructive impulse. We work for the benefit of others, and when others are benefited, we ourselves become happy. This is the spirit of loving kindness. Very difficult to do, right? Therefore, we need to practice more, because this type of love gives us abundant happiness. And this type of happiness will never turn to disappointment. This type of love, not like the love we have to our spouse. If our spouse betrays us, then your love will turn to disappointment, even to anger, even wanting to take revenge. So this type of love is conditioned love. I love you because you love me. If I love you and you don't love me, no. So this type of love is called conditioned lust, and it always ends up with disappointment. And there are two enemies of loving kindness. One is called near enemy. Another one is called far enemy. The near enemy of loving kindness is attachment. The attachment, which can be disguised as love, is the near enemy because attachment can easily creep into the heart of loving kindness without our knowledge. So sometimes we love our daughters. We think it's unconditioned love. But mostly our love to our daughters and sons are based on attachment. You can check your own heart and analyze your love to your daughters and son, whether it's unconditioned love or based on attachment. Because attachment is the near enemy of loving kindness. And this attachment, if attachment enter the picture of the metta, and the mind will become domineering, become possessive, that no longer resembles the spirit of loving kindness. And what is the far enemy of loving kindness? The far enemy of loving kindness is anger, ill will. When the mind is obsessed by hatred, one will find it difficult to radiate loving kindness to anyone, even to oneself. Loving kindness, metta, is serene, peaceful, gentle, and forgiving. On the other hand, dosa or anger or ill will is burning, harsh, confrontational, and unforgiving. There is a desire to destroy. Whenever there is hatred in the mind, loving kindness ceases in the heart, and happiness is also ceased when there is hatred in the heart. And it is precisely for this reason Buddha recommended loving kindness meditation as a cure for our anger. So the far enemy of loving kindness is anger. If we think we are a person full of anger, we should practice loving kindness more and more until the mind becomes soft, happy, peaceful, and having love for all beings. And I would like to talk a little bit about the power of loving kindness. The power of loving kindness cannot be underestimated. According to Abhidhamma, every thought, whether it's wholesome or unwholesome, can generate four elements in the body. On the other word, every thought, whether it's skillful or unskillful, can generate vibration or energy in the body. When the thought is filled with loving, filled with love, then we scan the body. The good energy follow the loving thought, and while you scan the body, that good energy heals the body. That is what we practiced just now. But if we send the bad thought, let's say anger, the anger thought, and we scan the body with anger mind, angry mind, and then the body will be hurt, will be harmed, will be hurt. This is already proof in different experiments. Not only the loving thought can heal the body, can produce good vibration, good energy in the body. This loving thought also can travel far and reach the other person. Do you believe that? If you have studied about energy, you should believe that. Nowadays, this is very common. Let's say the Qigong, you have heard about the Qigong. The Qigong master can heal a patient far away because he's using his qi, and that qi is produced by mind, by a positive mind. During Buddha's time, Buddha's enemy, Devadatta. Devadatta intended to kill the Buddha because he wished to take over the Buddha's position. So one day, he let loose an elephant. He let the elephant drink some alcohol and make the elephant drunkard. So he let loose the elephant when Buddha came for arms round with many of his disciples. So the white elephant rushed to the Buddha. And at that time, Venerable Ananda, who was his attendant, in order to protect the Buddha, Venerable Ananda was willing to sacrifice his life in order to protect the Buddha. So Venerable Ananda quickly rushed out and stand in front of the Buddha so that the elephant can attack him rather than attacking the Buddha. But the Buddha said, Ananda, don't worry. No one in this world can harm me. And at that moment, Buddha entered into metta jhana and radiate loving kindness to this wild elephant. And this elephant, when he rushed in front of the Buddha, immediately being affected by Buddha's loving energy, and he knelt down as if bowing to the Buddha. So this incident shows that the loving thought, that loving energy can travel and reach another person and can transform another person's aggressiveness or can soften another person's mind. This is the power of loving kindness meditation. And another incident was occurred in Burma. In Burma, there was a senior monk staying in a forest, and he stayed in one of the cottages. The cottage we call kuti in Pali. This kuti, they lift up from the ground. So the ground, they have many empty space in the ground, on the ground. And one of the tigers always came and slept below the kuti, on that open space. And above stayed the senior monk. The senior monk who always practicing loving-kindness meditation. So one day in the winter, next to that kuti, the senior monk's attendant were burning some fire sticks to get some warmth. So at that moment, the tiger who was sleeping suddenly yawning. And the attendant, instead of sending loving kindness to this tiger, suddenly a bad thought, an evil thought arise in his mind. And he thought, how if I throw this fire stick into the tiger's mouth? From here, you can understand how unstable is our mind. Suddenly he was burning the fire stick, and the tiger just yawned. And the evil thought arise in his mind, thinking throwing the fire stick into the tiger's mouth. Why he has such thought? This shows that our mind is very wild. Always go to the evil thoughts rather than good thoughts. And when he has such evil thoughts, the tiger sense it. The tiger sense the thought. As I say, the thought can produce energy, and that energy can travel and reach another person. So the tiger roar. It's called roar, R-O-A-R. He roar very fiercely. And the attendant get very frightened. And the monk stay in the kuti, suddenly said, "Oh, layperson, do you harm the tiger with your evil thoughts?" The monk can read his mind. Then he said, "Have you harmed the tiger with your evil thoughts?" And the attendant suddenly realized his fault, and mentally he apologized to the tiger. And the tiger went to sleep again. This is the real story. This is the real story to show that our thoughts, our thought, whether evil or skillful or unskillful, produce good or bad energy, not only in our body, but that energy also travel and reach another person. So this is the power of loving kindness meditation. So from these two incidents, we should cultivate more loving thoughts to ourselves as well as to other person, for our own happiness and for the happiness of others. Okay. Next, I will talk about how to develop, how to practice loving kindness meditation. There are two ways. The first one is without jhana. The second one is with jhana. When practice loving kindness without jhana, we take all beings as our objects. So mentally, we send, "May all beings be well and happy. May all beings be well and happy." But for many people, just mentally say, the real love, the pure love, cannot arise in the heart. So in order to make your loving kindness more powerful, you should reflect. In this beginningless of cycle of rebirth, Buddha said, you cannot find anyone who has not been your relative before, regardless of the caste, color, gender, race, even species besides human. So in this world, we all are connected. We all are connected to each other. But why cannot we remember? We cannot remember you are my past relative. Why we are so forgetful that we all are connected in our past? Because of rebirth. Rebirth make our mind confused. Therefore, we cannot remember. Let's see, can you remember what you have eaten during your lunch 2 weeks ago? Can you remember or not? You cannot remember. Even 2 weeks ago, how can you remember while you are lying in the mother's womb for 10 months? How can you remember your past life? How can you remember your past relative while you are lying in the mother's womb for 10 months? You can't even remember 2 weeks ago what you have eaten. This is the reason that we are so forgetful. We forget we were connected in the past. We are sister and brothers in the past. So in order to make the loving kindness metta meditation more powerful, we should always reflect. In this world, we can't find anyone who has not been our relatives before, regardless race, whether you are Westerner, Easterner, Asian, whether you are black, white, yellow, whether you are female or male, even whether including animals. So if we can have such understanding, just as we love our relatives, we also can love other people whom we do not know now, or who are neutral to us. Even our enemy now can be our fathers in the past. Our enemy now can be our spouse, our son and daughters in the past. Just like Devadatta. Devadatta was an enemy of Buddha, but in the past life, he had been many times Buddha's fathers. So if we have loving kindness, if we develop loving kindness meditation, we will not carry the hate. We will not carry the grudge from one life to another life. Understanding, we all are connected. So if we have this understanding, we can easily generate loving kindness to all beings. May all beings be well and happy. May they free from all suffering. And say it again and again, regard all beings are our relatives. And the second way of generating loving kindness meditation is for the purpose of attaining jhana, absorptions. For this purpose, we first generate loving kindness to ourselves first. Just like you have practiced just now, may I be well and happy, may I be peaceful again and again. But radiating loving kindness to oneself, we cannot attain jhana. If we cannot attain jhana by sending love to oneself, why should we send love to ourselves? Because if we cannot love ourselves, how can we love others? Buddha said, we love ourselves most in this world. So we must learn, appreciate loving ourselves first before we can really love others. And by sending loving kindness to ourselves, we make ourselves happy, then we understand how important is happiness for everyone. Imagine, you are the only person, you are the only person who is happy, and the whole world are unhappy. Can you really be happy? You are surrounded by all the unhappy person. Other people's unhappiness will affect your happiness. Therefore, in order to live happily, we also wish all beings be happy. All of us. May all of us be happy. Okay. This is the purpose. We try to send love to ourselves first. Then, second, we choose after you feel satisfied, sending love to oneself, then we choose a respectable, a respected person to be the second category of people, a respected teacher or any friends that you respect. But it must be same sex, not opposite sex. Because sometimes metta can turn to lust if you are not mindful. Metta and affection is very close. So if you send to metta to opposite sex, sometimes it may turn to affection. Affection, or it may turn to lust. If that metta, if it is unchecked, therefore, to avoid metta turn to lust, we avoid choosing opposite sex. So we choose a respectable person. It can be a teacher or friend, and send love. The way you send to yourself, then send the same love to this person. You can keep his image in front of you and recollect all the virtues he or she has. Or you can think all the good he has done for you in order for you to feel the loving heart for her or for him. So you keep her image in front of you, then continuously generate love for he or for her, repeatedly until you feel abundant happiness arise in your heart. And as you feel happy, the image will become more clear, the image will start to smile. When you see the image start to smile, and you will become even more happy. And as the concentration become deep, then you feel a lot of joy, happiness, and even the whole body become very bright, and the image also become very bright. If you can sustain that concentration for 1 hour, 2 hours, then you might be able to attain first jhana. There are 5 factors in the first jhana: application of the mind, sustained application of the mind, joy, happiness, and one-pointedness. So at that moment, if you enter into jhana, you experience these 5 jhana factors: application of the mind, vitakka; sustained application of the mind, vichara; joy, piti; happiness, sukha; and one-pointedness, ekagata. So if you are satisfied with this, your first jhana, then you can move on to second jhana, third jhana. The end of loving kindness meditation is third jhana. Loving kindness meditation cannot reach fourth jhana, because in the fourth jhana there is one jhana factor called equanimity. In loving kindness, we need happiness, not equanimity. Therefore, it only ends at the third jhana. So when you are successful, then you change to another person. The third person is neutral person. Neutral person means the person you do not hate and you do not like. It's neutral to you. It is very easy to send loving kindness to our respectable teacher or to our beloved friend. But it's not easy to send loving kindness to neutral person because you don't know him, right? Therefore, it's always be helpful to reflect that we all are connected. In this life, he might be neutral to me, but in my past, he might be my relative. It might be my son, my daughter, my parents, my spouse, and so on. So when you reflect in this way, then it's easily that you feel a love for her or for him. So the third person is neutral person. You can choose anyone, okay, but same sex and still alive. To a respectable person also, you should choose a person who is still living, not that person. Okay. If you choose that person, your metta cannot be successful up to jhana. And the last category of person is the most challenging one. You choose your enemy. You send loving kindness to your enemy. For most people, this is the most difficult to do. So in order to help you to be able to send loving kindness to your enemy, some skillful means are needed here. First, you should not choose the enemy you hate most. You should choose the enemy you hate the least. Test first. Test it out first. If you choose your enemy, the enemy you hate most, I think you will end up in anger, and you may want to give him a punch. And one of the students reported that when he tried to send love to the enemy, he was afraid that his enemy will become well and happy. Therefore, it's not easy to send love to the enemy you hate most. In fact, why we regard him as our enemy? Because we think he had harmed us. If not, we will not regard him as our enemy. But if you can examine deeply your heart, it is your ego that is hurt. Because the ego we cherish, we love so much, is hurt. Therefore, we regard him as our enemy. So none is our enemy except our own ego, centeredness, or our own hatred. If you can understand this point, then you'll find no enemy in the world. However, if before you can reach this point, we still would take a physical person as an enemy. So first, you take an enemy you hate the least and try to send loving thought to him or her. May he or she be well and happy again and again. If this fail, because it's not easy, if this fail, I would like to suggest you to practice forgiveness. Forgive everyone that had hurt you. In this world, sometimes people harm us. Sometimes we also harm other people, right? Or we harm other people all the time. So when we harm other people, we also hope that we will be forgiven. in the same way, when others harmed us, we also try to forgive them. Forgive others is being kind to yourself. Why bear the grudge? Why carry the grudge throughout your life? If we carry the grudge, carry the hate, we make ourselves unhappy first. So it's very important to practice forgiveness. Forgive oneself, forgive ourselves. Whatever harm we have done to others, we forgive ourselves. And whatever harm others have done to us, we forgive them. Understand, all this harm are just manifestation of cause and effect. People harm us, maybe because in the past we have harmed them. So it's just a cause and effect. So with this understanding, it's more easy to send loving kindness to our enemy. Remember, the hatred is our own real enemy, not another person. Arahant has no enemy. One day, Venerable Sariputta went out for alms round. And many people praise Venerable's non-evil. Many people praise Venerable Sariputta's gentleness. So one of the Brahmins hurt Venerable Sariputta's reputation, good reputation. How gentle he was. He never get angry. And this Brahmin said to himself, he said, I don't believe he has no anger. It was because he was not yet tested. So he would like to test him, whether he really get angry or not. So on his arms round, one day, on his arms round, Venerable Sariputta's arms round, he went for arms round. And this Brahmin followed after him and suddenly give him a strong strike on his back. And Venerable Sariputta, not even turning back to see what happened, he continued to walk, not even turning back, who struck me? And he continued to walk. And this Brahmin suddenly feels so remorse. Suddenly he feels that, I have done a wrong deed. I have offended a saint who has no anger at all. And when Venerable Sariputta arrived in one house, and all the village people get very angry with this Brahmin. They carry all the sticks, want to fight with this Brahmin. But Venerable Sariputta told them, this Brahmin has done, this Brahmin did not done anything to you. He struck me, and I don't feel any hate to him. Then why should you have hate to him? He didn't strike you, he struck me. Therefore, forgive him. Venerable Sariputta asked all the villagers who respected him to forgive the Brahmin. So from this story, we clearly understand the hatred is our own enemy, not the person who harmed us. So with this understanding, we can easily send loving kindness to our enemy. And may this enemy be well and happy. May this enemy be well and happy again and again. But if we still fail, then we go back to the respectable person first to arouse more love, and to the neutral person again, then finally go back to the enemy again. And for anyone who has no enemy, it's your blessing. You don't have to send any loving kindness to your enemy. You don't have to find any enemy if you don't have. Okay. And lastly, after sending love to oneself, to a respectable person, to a neutral person, and to an enemy successfully, successfully, then we have to break the barrier between these four persons. Breaking the barrier means that our love to these four persons must be equal. So whenever we want to send love to oneself, to enemy, to respectable person, or to neutral person, we can do it directly, immediately. And the love you have to this four person must be the same, impartial. And the commentary gives a simile. He said that there are four persons in the boat, in the ship. You yourself, a respectable person, a neutral person, and an enemy. And a robber want to kill one among the four. Want to kill one among the four category of people. And if you think that no, the enemy deserves to be killed, then your loving kindness is partial. Your loving kindness has not broken the barrier yet. And if you think that I should be killed, your loving kindness is remain partial because you don't love yourself, right? You want to sacrifice yourself for other people. This is called compassion. This is not called loving kindness. But for loving kindness, among these four, none of them should be offered to the robber to be killed. Only then you have broken the barrier among the four. And if you are successful, if you are successful breaking the barrier, then you can send the love to all beings in 10 directions. Each direction, west, south, north, above, below, to all sentient beings. So this is the way to practice loving kindness meditation. Any question? What stage?
The loving kindness different stage. And the second one, what's the difference between the loving kindness and the compassion?
Okay. How to assess whether you practice successfully at each stage, right? Each stage mean different person or two different person? Your questions, they're not clear. It's two different person or what?
So different person. All of this practice, the loving kindness, the practice.
Say it again.
So how? So for each stage, after you finish successfully, do the loving kindness, send the loving kindness to like a respectful person. And so at this stage, we know that we feel joyful and for the person. So that's sort of success. And then move to the
Yes. If with jhana, then you can check the jhana. For example, you know, you send a love to a respectable person, then you feel the joy, happiness, and the concentration, and later on you will check the jhana factors. The first jhana, we have 5 jhana factors. You check it. Then second jhana, we have 3 jhana factors. And the third jhana, we also have 3 jhana factors. First jhana, 5 jhana factors: application of mind, sustained application of mind, joy, happiness, and one-pointedness. Second jhana, we have 3 jhana factors: joy, happiness, and one-pointedness. And the third jhana, we have 2 jhana factors: happiness and one-pointedness. So after successfully achieve third jhana, then you move to a neutral person. Then you will know from the first jhana, from the jhana you have just experienced, then when you move to the neutral person, whether you have the same experience of jhana or not, you can compare yourself, you can assess. So if you can achieve the third jhana while radiating love to the neutral person, then you can move on again. Without successful, you should not move on.
So for each particular target, after we reach like the third jhana, we move to the next person.
Yes.
And then start to press again.
Yes. Or you can choose respectable person in order to make your jhana more powerful. Respectable person, you should choose few. For example, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 person, one after another, to make your jhana more powerful before you move on to neutral person. Okay. Yes.
Vitakka and vichara. I've heard different definitions for those, and I guess in different scriptures, sometimes vitakka and vichara are used to describe regular thought. So I would like to hear you talk about what vitakka and vichara are.
About loving kindness meditation or any meditation subject.
In meditation, when talking
I understand. Okay. Can I give you a mindfulness of breathing? It's easy for you to understand. Okay. Vitakka vichara. Vitakka is application of the mind. Vichara is sustained application of the mind. Let's say when we practice mindfulness of breathing, we take the breath. Breathing in, breathing out. Vitakka means directing the mind. Vitakka means placing the mind on the breath. Vichara means sustain your attention on the breath, so that the mind will not wander off. So when the mind is firmly placed on the breath, and the attention is firmly sustained there, then the nimitta will come. You know nimitta? Okay, the nimitta will come. When the nimitta comes, also the mind is firmly placed on the nimitta, and the attention is firmly sustained there. Therefore, jhana is achieved. No thoughts, no.
Okay, in any level of
jhana, yes.
Jhana, no thoughts.
Yes, no thoughts. If there's thought, we cannot say jhana. It's a translation, application of the thoughts. It's a translation only. Vitakka means placing the mind on the object, whatever meditation you apply. You firmly place the mind on the breath. It's called vitakka. Okay, any other question? Yes? Okay. Joy and happiness. Okay, the commentary gives an example. Travelers who is very tired. So when he go to this desert. He feel very thirsty. Suddenly he heard the water running. He heard the water running. So when he hear the water running, he has a lot of joy. And when he take the water and drink it, he has happiness. There is a difference between joy and happiness. Okay? Any other question? Yes?
In the category of the respectable person, someone who I have traditionally said that to is a monk, and it's someone with whom I don't have any love, so you still can't lose an opposite sex?
I think you can if he is your teacher and you are not very close to him. I think you can try, but from time to time you have to check your mind whether the metta, you know, become last or not. From time to time, if you check your mind, then you are safe. I think we will not have lust to enemy. I think. So enemy, I think we should choose. We disregard the sex. But from time to time, you also have to check your mind. Okay? Okay, any other question? No more? And then we stop here. Okay, four fifteen. That next sitting, we will try to send loving kindness to a respectable person. Okay, but we rest for 20 minutes first. Okay.